annals of history.
There has been some mighty trios. Alvin and the Chipmunks, Harry, Ron and Hermione, and the Bee Gees.
Well, sure, there's only one of them now, but you get the drift.
Now, from a small bedroom in Queanbeyan,
these three men will try and make sense of the world with their words. And if words fail them, there's always this.
Ben Edwards with a huge finish!
But let's hope it doesn't come to that.
Thanks to the butcher shop, Dixon and Kayleen. Please welcome Scotty, No I Don't Know Why I Got Fired Masters, Ben the Governor Edwards,
and Steve, Golden Tonsils Payos.
It is Season 2, Episode 6 of the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. I'm Scotty Masters.
I'm Benny Edwards, and next to me is
Stevie P.
Start of the
I like that. Just slithering Stevie P.
How good is Steve looking? From the ankles up, anyway.
well, let's be honest. We normally record on a Tuesday night. This week, that didn't suit us all, so it's lunchtime Tuesday.
We're early. And I was on time.
Benny and I are in tracksuits and socks, and Steve's in the suit. But as you said, suit says professional.
Queanbeyan.
Oh, we love Queanbeyan.
Mate, the holes in Seriously. The Rios. Thanks for coming.
I keep telling everyone, what's Queanbeyan like? And I go, it's Newcastle without a beach.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
Love the place.
Greatest city in the world. God's country, 2620. What's Chandler's postcode, Benny? 29.
2615, man.
2615?
Yeah, haven't you seen the tattoos? The guy's got tats, man.
Who does? Who charmed, man?
Plenty to talk about on the episode. Thanks to, of course, the crew at the Butcher Shop. And we just want to send our condolences to the Butcher Shop crew. Old Ernie that you would have seen around there making snags over the years. Ian's worked on and off with Ernie for 35 years. Lost his battle with leukemia last Friday and passed away and left behind his family and everything else. And he was a lovely bloke. Every time I'd go in there, he was always up for a chat and a joke. So tip of the hat to Ernie and to all of the crew at the Butcher Shop who lost a good mate last Friday.
Yeah, it's a long time to know someone.
Deepest condolences, boys. Yeah, that's very, very sad news.
35 years Ian and him worked on and off together. So yeah, well. not a bad relationship, that one. But anyway, on to better and brighter notes, Benny. Of course, you're still wearing a few of the scars on the face, but you came out on top in your MMA debut, and we'll talk about that more soon.
Yeah, it was a good night, mate. Yeah, we'll discuss that in depth.
In
It'll get a full wrap.
I'll let you guys get a
in
word
the vast
in at some
planet
stage.
Of Cambry Queanbeyan Endeavour.
And yeah, obviously we're covering the Mayweather-McGregor World Tour.
Yeah.
It's changed fight promoting forever, probably. Maybe not. And the Ultimate Fight Night 113 in Glasgow. My motherland. Our possible motherland.
Well, it's true. I think it's where a Viking met a Scottish man and we were
Raped
the result.
Raped
well, yeah, that's true. That's what happened in history. Well, they were pillaging.
That's why I got blonde on my beard, man.
Is that what it is? Is it?
That's my story.
Oh, it's just because you didn't wipe your chin
up. It might still be bum fluff.
After his ribs yesterday.
We went out for a huge feed dogs. Yesterday. We went over to Lone Star at Belco. And what did you smash, Benny? Two hot dogs?
Yeah.
And a cheesecake. And then it was Cold Rock after that.
Yep.
Man's got to eat, man.
Indeed. But I mean, as you said, you're back on the diet because you can't really train at the moment with a broken foot. We'll talk about that too, because that's something we knew about the week before the fight. No one knew you took a broken foot into that fight.
Yeah. Just amazing. I didn't want to be the guy making excuses before it. So
yeah. Yeah, nice.
No, it was good, man. Good. Nice. All the mental obstacles were overcome.
Beautiful. Stevie, you're going to have a job on Arsenal TV soon, mate. You popped up all over social media
Viral.
On the weekend.
Viral indeed. Yeah, it was great.
It's not the first time he's heard that.
I was trying to think of something.
Positive viral this time.
No, negative viral is what you want.
Yeah. Oh, boys, it was a great weekend actually up there watching the Gunners in Sydney. It was the end of a really good 2 weeks actually after being in Brisbane for Pacquiao and Horn. That was a fantastic weekend in the hole. Obviously, Dave getting up, followed by Jeff Horn stunning the world. Yeah, well. And I just couldn't believe monitoring from overseas the amount of crap that was in the media about Horn not winning that. I mean, you guys touched on it in that first podcast while I was away, and it was completely accurate, but that was just farcical. It just went on and on. The reviews, the Pacquiao
Jeff
business.
Had the last laugh.
But you know what? Though, the fact that the WBA looked at it and they went, it's right.
That's right. And they got five more blokes to look, or six more blokes to look at it who all came out with the goods. So that was brilliant. Got some good business done in Thailand, talking to Max Muay Thai over there. So that was really good.
Nice.
And then obviously the weekend with Arsenal in Sydney, being, a long-term member of the biggest supporters club in the UK, it gave me a little bit extra access and some insights that some other people may not be able to get. So I was really privileged and grateful for that. And, just sort of be up close with and personal with the players at their training sessions and be part of the game.
How'd you get on the video, man? There's millions of people there and he picked you to talk to.
Yeah, well, I met Robbie at the FA Cup final. So the way that works is a very interesting story I'll just cover quickly, but that all started as Robbie Lyle, the guy who does it, is the main host of it. He basically started with a camera and a microphone about 4 or 5 years ago outside games when there was a lot of disgruntled Arsenal fans.
Yep.
You know, after years of empty promises of winning the premiership, I think it was about 8, 9 years we hadn't won a league at that point or a trophy for that matter.
Yeah.
Started interviewing people outside the ground and just, you know, pitched it as fan TV just for the fans solely. None of this club-run fan TV. Like, we'll do it as completely separate and just get the fans in there. And what happened was it just went bananas. They started off with some just their regular characters who are quite famous in their own right now, those people. And because of that, it just got a cult following. And since then, there's millions of followers, millions of people. And I met him at the FA Cup when I was over there in May. He was sitting a couple of rows behind me. I went up there and had a chat with him, and he goes, mate, we'll get you on. I didn't get on after the FA Cup final because it was just chaos, as you can imagine, 90,000 at Wembley, but kept in contact with him when I got back home and then basically spoke to him on the Thursday and Friday and said, look, I'll come see you. And he waited for me in the spot we agreed to, and I was the first one on there, and it was a chaotic type of environment to do an interview. Mate, there were about 1,000 people pushing in, like pressuring you, pushing you, like, you know, you just surrounded, the lights, camera, action everywhere. It was really good. It was really entertaining. I quite enjoyed it, but it'd be quite daunting, I think, for someone in front of the camera, basically. But it was really good. It was good to go and have a chat and you know, pass on my thoughts. And I'll next time I'm over there, I'll hopefully see him again. So culminating a great end to the weekend. I saw my English mates as well, and we had a great 3 days up there. And here we are. Back again.
You're a world traveler, man.
Yeah, I am.
He's all over it.
Yeah, no, nah, look, it's been...
You were in Canada last weekend, weren't you?
Yeah, that's right. That one too. That was only Saturday. It was a brief trip.
The Learjet is getting plenty of work out. Also on the way, we're going to have a final look at Origin for me for the year, and then I'm done, because let's be honest, this time last week we were all excited, Benny, and look what happened.
You were excited. I was cynical.
You're a bit nonplussed.
Cynical? Yeah. I like it.
Anyway, realistic.
Yeah, we'll get to all of that and plenty more on the way. But right now, let's get into our first song for the night. I thought we'd play the song you walked out to on Saturday night, Benny. Biggie and Hypnotize. Why? Why do you walk out to this
one? Because there's very few cool songs to come out to when you're a chubby white guy, unless it's a chubby black guy singing it.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Well, let's play it right now on the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. It's Season 2, Episode 6. Scotty, Stevie, and Benny, all thanks to The Butcher
Say
Shop.
Say my name right. B-E-N-N-R-E. Come on. Sicker than your average, pop a twist, cabbage off instinct. Niggas don't think shit, stink, pink gators. My Detroit players, Tim's for my hooligans in Brooklyn. That's dead right, if the head right, Biggie there, and I. Papa been school since days of under rules. Never lose, never choose to. Bruise, cruise, who? Do something to us, talk, go through us. Girls walk to us, wanna do us, screw us, who us? Yeah, Papa and Pump. Close like Starsky and Hutch, stick to clutch. Yeah, I squeeze 3 at your cherry M3. Bang every MC easily.
Take that.
Recently, niggas frontin' ain't saying nothing, so I just speak my peace. Keep my peace. Cubans with the Jesus peace. With my peace. Packin', asking who want it. They got it, nigga flaunt it. That Brooklyn bullshit, we on it.
Biggie, 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 can't you see? Sometimes your words just hypnotize me. And I just love your flashy ways. Guess that's why they're broken, you're so mean. Biggie, 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 can't you see? Sometimes your words just hypnotize me. And I just love your flashy ways. Guess that's why they're broken, you're so mean.
I put O's and NY onto DKNY. Miami, D.C., prefer Versace.
That's right.
All Philly hoes know it's Moschino. Every cutie with the booty for the coochie. Now who's the real dookie? Meaning who's really the shit? Them niggas ride dicks. Frank White push the stick called the Lexus LX 4.5. Bulletproof glass tints if I want some ass. Gon' blast sweet first. Ask questions last. That's how most of these so-called gangsters pass. At last, a nigga rapping about blunts and bras, tits and bras, menage a trois, sex and expensive cars. I still leave you on the pavement. Condo paid for, no car payment. At my arraignment,
Snoop for the cleaning. Your daughter's tied up in the Brooklyn basement. Face it, not guilty. That's how I stay true. Richer than richer. So you niggas come and kick. Come on.
Biggie, 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 can't you see? Sometimes your words just hypnotize me. And I just love your flashy ways. Guess that's why they're broken. You're so vain.
Uh-huh. Can't you see? Sometimes your words just hypnotize me. And I just love your flashy ways. Guess that's why they're broken. You're so vain. I can feel you with real millionaire shit. That's cargo, my cargo. 160, swiftly. Wreck it by your new one. Your crew run, run, run. Your crew run, run. I know you sick of this. Name brand nigga with flows. Girl, say he sweet like licorice. So get with this, nigga, it's easy. Girlfriend, here's a bitch. Call me round 10, come through, have sex on rugs, that's Persian.
That's right.
Come up to your job, hit you while you're working, for certain. Papa freaking, not speaking, leave their ass leaking like rapper demo. Tell them who, take their clothes off slowly. Kill them with the force like Kobe, dick black like Kobe. Watch me roam like Roman. Lucky they don't owe me, where to say, show me, homie.
Homie.
Biggie, 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 can't you see? Sometimes your words just hypnotize me. And I just love your flashy ways. Guess that's why they're broken, you're so vain. Biggie, 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 can't you see? Sometimes your words just hypnotize me. And I just love your flashy ways. Guess that's why they're broken, you're so vain. Biggie, 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 can't you see? Sometimes your words just hypnotize me. And I just love your flashy ways. Guess that's why they're broken, you're so vain. Biggie, 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 can't you see? Sometimes your words just hypnotize me. And I just love your flashy ways. Guess that's why they're broken, you're so vain. Biggie, 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 can't you see? Sometimes your words just hypnotize me.
That was the notorious B.I.G. Biggie Smalls with my walkout song, Hypnotize.
Yeah.
This is the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. I'm Ben, you're Scotty.
Why? I was just going to say.
Stevie.
No, I was just going to say, if you want songs to walk out to by chubby black guys because you're a chubby white guy, you've got two other options as well. You've got Heavy D and the Boys. Now that we've found love, what are we going to do with it? You could walk out to that.
That's not a bad song.
Brandon Sassoli would have been a big fan of that one. He would have been grooving to that one.
Now that Betty's found love.
he was already on top of me, pounding me, haven't we? We're taking it to another level.
And the other one, of course, Set Adrift on Memory Bliss by PM Dawn.
Great song. Probably.
Great song.
Never heard
of it. No, you'd know it if you heard
You're
it.
You're old.
You'd know it if you heard it. Brandon was 92, for Christ's sake.
I was 3.
Oh dear. All right, well, let's get stuck into this.
He's put more people to sleep in the ring than you've had hot dinners. He's faced the biggest and meanest dudes on the planet.
Another dramatic finish here as Ben Edwards comes from behind. Wow.
So now it's time for Ben's Biff-a-rama.
That's insane in the memory. So the Mayweather McGregor World Tour. What a chaotic 4 days, 4 press conferences all over the world in 4 days. Sold out world tour. That is unprecedented. It's going to change sporting promotion forever. A lot of people are saying, but I reckon they're once in a lifetime athletes. Is probably going to be like a one-off kind of thing.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it was essentially like WWE.
It was weird, man. It was LA to Toronto to New York to London. There's some epic pitches and verbal exchanges. It was unbelievable, man. The general consensus is that Mayweather won.
Yeah, he did.
One round, and McGregor got the other 3. Yeah, obviously, there's the first exchange in LA. Conor, it was very different to a UFC press conference where the press wasn't even asking questions. They weren't allowed to ask questions. You just get up there, say your piece, and that's it.
Yeah.
And apparently, Conor reckons they cut his mic off. And, well, he tried 2 microphones and they were both cut off. So he certainly made up for it in the Toronto press conference.
I read yesterday an article, rumor has it, that Showtime came and said, no, we didn't cut it off. It was like the work experience. Like they essentially,
as a kid.
You know that kid on The Simpsons who works in the taco store? Yeah. If I had a girlfriend, she'd be really upset with me. Yeah. It was like he was the guy controlling the microphones and just totally screwed it up.
Of course he did.
That's their excuse.
Yeah, that's good from Showtime.
It ended up being kind of like a 4-day rap battle.
Yeah,
kind of
it did.
I'm just, just trying to get the best out of
it. But no questions from the press. Some of them went for an hour and 40 minutes.
Yeah.
Goodness me, there was some smack.
And 90% of what Mayweather was saying was, yeah.
And train hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, he wasn't saying that.
No, wasn't he? What was he saying? What was he saying?
Hard work.
See, you can't
hard
even,
work, dedication.
He can't read and he can't
hard
talk.
Hard work.
He can't read, can't
easy
talk.
Easy work. Hard work. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So you'll be able to hear some of that here. Have a listen.
There's no other way about it. His little legs, his little core, his little head. I'm going to knock him out inside 4 rounds, mark my words. I ain't back down for no motherfucking body. You line him up and I knock him down like bowling pins. And August 26th, I'm going to knock this down too.
Yeah, really. I've knocked nobody out in about 20 years.
As far as the fight, he will be unconscious inside 4 rounds. The movement, the power, the ferociousness, he's not experienced this.
We know Mr. Tapo liked to quit. And you will wave that white flag because you can choose which way you want to go. I'm guaranteeing you this. You going out on your face or you going out on your back? Which way you want to go? That's right. Sit quiet, you little...
On the count of three, I want everyone in this arena to scream at the top of your lungs, Mayweathers. One, two, three. No. We can do better than that. When I count to three, I want this entire arena to scream, F*** Mayweathers. One, two, three, F*** Mayweathers. He won't do nothing. And while we're at it, F*** Showtime too, you little weasel. Look at you, you little weasel. I can see it in your eyes. You're a f***. You do something with that flag, I'll f*** you up. There's about a... That's it? That's it? There's about $5,000 in here. There's about $5,000 in here. F*** me. Just now you do something with that flag, you ain't getting this bag or this money back, and I'm gonna f*** you up on this stage.
DJ!
The real money, yeah!
Yeah!
One.
Yeah!
Pick them $1 bills up! All you pick them $1 bills up for
yeah,
him!
Yeah!
Yeah! Head. Look at you, you blown up! Couldn't run up and there, up and back from there without being able to f*** out you, fat b***. Mate, you're 40! Get that f***ing phone out of your hand like a kid. A 40-year-old man. What the f***? He was wearing high heels yesterday. What's with these two Jews heads you got? What the f*** was that yesterday? He jumped up and he shouted, Voltron, Power Rangers, and these Jews heads can walk and stand up before me. Mate, 40 years of age. Get your together, my God. You juice head turkey, and you juice head turkey. You little slap head. You little slap head. Boom. I'm so happy you took that hat off, I gotta say. What the f*** were you hiding under that thing? That little f***ing peanut head.
Today is your birthday. As a gentleman, I want to say happy birthday. I wish you many more.
On the count of three, I want everyone in this arena to scream at the top of your lungs, f*** Floyd Mayweather. One, two, three.
That's about just 4 minutes of the biggest shit talk you will ever hear in your life.
Oh. Yeah, who sells out things like that just for two guys, two fighters? just talking.
Well, look at what one of the points McGregor brought up. I think it was in the final round in London. He's gone 4 years ago. I was here, and he said I fought in front of 600 people 4 years ago.
Yep.
And now 10,000 people are buying tickets to a press conference.
Yeah,
it's unbelievable.
That's insane.
Buying tickets to watch me talk crap. That's what it is. They're buying tickets to watch me talk.
But the thing about Conor, he's just authentic, man. It's just him. He's just being. You can tell it's not an act.
I think the Irish accent as well helps him. The brash mentality.
And
the
he's
Irish
got an Irish name. He's from the most famous Irish city in the world.
Yeah, exactly.
And
they
love their sport, man. It's different to other guys where. Well, being Australians, we've seen I'm a little bit Scottish, Scandinavian, Welsh. I'm a bit all over the place, but Conor's just pure Ireland, man.
Yeah,
so you're gonna, with an Irish name, there's no doubt where he's from.
No, that's right.
That's such a huge factor. So the whole world will be watching. Can it break the 2.5 million buys for pay-per-view on the day?
Surely.
A lot of people are saying yes.
Well, it's right up there too, because I know I think standard definition in America is like $99 American, and high def's another $20 on top of that. Right. Like, it'll be about $130.
Conor was asked, do you think the $99 price is too much? He goes, it should have been all 120. He just turned Scottish, apparently.
He did. Yeah. So, sounded like Shrek.
So I'll be covering the Canelo Golovkin fight, which is coming after.
Yeah, exactly. I was just going to say to you, the thing that disappoints me the most from a boxing perspective, it takes away from what is a much better fight. Canelo versus GGG, 23 September, on the same day that Joseph Parker fights Huey Fury a few hours before that in London. It takes away from what's a massive night.
So I'm going to be on boxing. My ass watching that all day.
That's it. Well, it's going to be a big night for you. You'll be finishing work and then staying up for two massive
fights. I'll take that night off.
Yeah, up early. Breaky time.
Ben will be suspended again by then.
I'm getting suspended for sure.
Yeah.
People need to develop thicker skins, man.
He's taking his 1 week ban early. I'll take the early plea.
I'm going to volunteer my suspension. Yeah. Anyway, so moving on. Ultimate Fight Night 113 took place for the UFC at Glasgow in Scotland. Headlined by McGregor teammate, the Icelandic Gunnar Nelson, took on the Argentine Santiago Ponzinibbio.
Nice.
I got that right. Now, the record books are going to show a first round KO to Santiago, but the reality is that there was several eye pokes that he took place right before the knockout, which has definitely marred the win. I certainly think a rematch is deserved, but Gunner's dad, Harley, who I'm friends with on Instagram, he's actually a really cool dude. He's just a proud dad, full Icelandic, stoic as. And he put up a video of these slow-mo eye pokes, and Gunner was just getting smashed in the eye.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And but he wasn't like, he was trying to just play it off and not reacting and trying not to like look like he was trying to, you know, get a cheap break or anything like that. So, but as Dana has said before, every single fight night, that every single pay-per-view fight, he says, if you guys get fouled, no one has ever come back from a foul and won.
Yeah.
Or it is a crazy statistic. If you get fouled and you cannot continue, don't.
Yeah.
So
right.
what a statistic that is. You think of all the eye pokes.
Yeah.
But again, it gets you thinking, when are they going to change the glove design? There's been whole cards ruined by eye pokes.
Yeah.
You know, you can see even in one of the photos I posted of my fight, Brandon's glove was like 1 centimeter from my eye, and it wasn't intentional. It's just everyone's natural reaction to hold someone back with your hands out and you know, fingers up. Mm-hmm. But the old prior gloves, as we discussed last year, they were slightly curved, and the amount of eye pokes was like 90% less.
How much would that take away from your grappling ability, though, Benny? If you can't completely extend your hands,
not so much the grappling. You can still extend your hands, but that your natural resting place is more like that.
Proud dad moment.
That was good.
That's why I've got you in headphones, because you heard. That was fantastic.
Look at his reaction too.
Ben was just like Keanu Reeves in The Matrix and dodging a bullet around the microphone.
I'm a seasoned vet now, man.
Thing is though, Ben, if they stiffen up the gloves so that your fingers are more curved,
it's not stiffened, it's just a slight change. Your resting hand position is slightly more.
Yeah, but it would have to be. They'd have to make it more rigid, though.
It didn't affect guys in Pride. There was never any complaints in Pride or anything like that. Even if it is, I'd still
prefer that.
It's better to have, and I'm sure all the grapplers would say.
Yep.
I'd rather have a slightly more comfortable hand position then it's all fun and games if someone loses an eye.
Yeah.
You know, but you've got to give a little to get a little, I reckon. So I reckon that if that is the case, which it very well may be, it's definitely...
I'm all for it, provided it doesn't take anything away from your ability to get on the ground and to work on the ground. That's all.
But yeah, even if it does take 1% away, I still reckon it's still a safer sport.
Yeah.
And it's going to be more fair outcomes. Well, that was the first thing I noticed when I started sparring, because we spar in 8-ounce MMA gloves, fingerless.
Yep.
And I came close to poking a few of my mates in the eye just because of my natural hand position
was out.
And even blocking punches is all different because your fingers are out and stuff. So it definitely takes a bit of chopping and changing. Yeah. So I'm trying to be very aware of where your fingers are. But in a situation like a fight where it's changing every split second, it's obviously
hard.
It's going to be a problem forever, but we need to minimize it as much as possible.
Yeah.
So,
all right,
Stevie, ask me some questions about me, man.
All right. Well, Stevie wasn't there for a start. You were still away.
In spirit.
But I was there on Saturday night.
I felt
night,
his
Benny,
presence.
And,
you felt me, mate. I'm always there. I'm always there, baby.
It was, it was a full house.
Work hard!
Next person that says that gets kicked with the moon boot. But no, it was a full house for a start.
700 plus seats.
So sold out. Every fight, the undercard, a lot of new people getting in the ring too, they all had a go. Like, there wasn't one bad fight on the night. Everyone had a crack. So it was.
I think that's because there was people in the crowd. Have a go in your mind.
Well, as a spectator, it was a great night to be
there's
there.
Always
a great night
to
watch it.
Excellent. So, yeah. That's really good. Yeah. So, I mean, for all those out there that don't know the result, Benny got through his first MMA fight professionally with a wonderful performance, I thought. Many, many questions, like we discussed yesterday, Scotty, about how would Benny go in certain type of situations? How would he go on the ground? How would he go up against a cage? How would he go just banging straight on, which we know he's been banging for a long time.
He did all three.
That's right. So the Gov put in a fantastic performance. The fight lasted for around about 4 minutes, I believe.
3:31, I think.
3:31.
Yeah, I was getting Donkey Kong for about 2 minutes.
Yeah. Getting barreled.
But that's the best thing, and you're right, Steve. We did mention it yesterday. The fact that, Ben, you got taken down, you were down for a while, Brandon was on top, and he was a much bigger guy than you because he didn't make weight. The fact that you got up from that, I think, is the best thing that could have happened in your first fight, because if you just poleaxed him on your feet, everyone would have said the same thing.
Yep.
Oh, that's good, but when he gets taken down, he's going to be screwed.
Yeah,
completely.
You know, we've all seen what happens now when Ben gets taken down.
That's
it. And you couldn't sprawl because your foot was broken.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I was so stoked.
Defensively, you were fantastic in those 2 minutes of the fight. So the way the fight panned out was the first sort of minute to a minute and a half. Basically, it was a little bit cagey, a bit of stand-up. Ben obviously dominating, you know, the stand-up and the exchanges there. A bit of movement up against a cage and a bit of, you know, around the ring, ringsmanship, I guess you'd call it. Octagon shit. What would you call it? Octagon shit.
Cage shit,
man. And then from there, it ended up on the ground with Brandon on top. Had side control there as well for a fair while. But
2 minutes.
But your defense was fantastic, Benny. 2 minutes of defending like
with
that.
With my face.
Yeah. Can really... and his beard. Can really take it out of you. But obviously you showed the skill to, you know, to get out of anything that he tried. Yeah. When he tried to, you know, completely pass and get over the top, you defended that perfectly. And then from there, Benny managed to work his way with a beautiful, you know, jiu-jitsu technique. Hip escape up and over, and then back on your feet, and it was all over after that.
Mate, the amount of time I've spent in that position with black belts on top of me in the last 18 months is crazy. Hundreds of hours just trying to get out. And because I'm with such high-level guys like Duke, like I cannot move.
Duke on the ground.
I've never got out of that position with Duke. I never even come close.
Yeah,
because he knows exactly what I'm trying to do.
Yeah.
But with winning with, you know, winning with high-level guys, you get with a lower level guy. I'm not saying Brandon's low-level.
No.
They leave little gaps, and I was being patient, waited for my time, did a little bump to create some room. As soon as I got my hand out the back, got the hip escape to get back up on my feet.
Yeah.
But yeah, then I do not. That is very hard to pull off.
It would have been very easy to shit yourself in that position.
Because I've been there so much, I wasn't even panicking.
Yeah.
He was using more energy than I was.
I'll tell you now, everyone in the crowd, everyone at my table, when it went down and he was on top of you, you could feel the air get sucked out of the room.
100%.
You could just hear everyone go. No.
I think the cheer when I got back on my feet for that was bigger than the KO.
There was a great video on Facebook of Lee from Ladantes by taking a video, and when he's on the ground about a minute, and you can just see all these murmurings behind, this ain't looking good.
I could sense it. But then the good thing was we got back up, and then I got put on the cage where I've lived on the wall. And when I first started doing wall work, because I didn't know when I could have a rest, I was using so much energy so quick.
Yeah.
And I just started dry reaching. It was just like a sprint.
Yeah.
Like when but then I was chilling out. I was completely recovering. Brandon was using more energy than me.
Yep.
Escaped off the wall.
K Can I ask a couple of questions that I wanted to ask you, Benny? How cagey and how, I mean, relating to that, how were you nervous in those first exchanges in the first minute where it's a different type of hitting, you know what I mean? It's your first professional time, the smaller gloves, knowing that if he connects with a big one, you know, how cagey and nervous were you in terms of the first stages of the fight?
Mate, I thought I was going to be a hell of a lot more nervous than what I was. I think for this one, as I've spoken about on here before, because I've actually done everything right. I used my 13 years experience of where I went right, where I went wrong.
Yes.
Had a solid 3 months of training. Even with the sore foot going into it, mm-hmm. I was nowhere near as nervous as I thought I'd be. I knew I was fit. I knew I was strong. Yep. I knew I was ready to go.
Yeah, I was sitting on the lounge two Friday nights before the fight, so a week and a bit out. And I just text Ben randomly, and Ben's texted me back a photo of him in hospital being fitted in a bloody moon boot. And he's like, don't you say a word to anyone, but I broke 3 bones in my foot at sparring tonight. And see, and that's the thing. I mean, you couldn't sprawl on Saturday night because it would have killed you.
Yeah.
So, you know, down the track, next fight, you're all healthy going in as far as your feet go. You probably won't get taken down like that, you would hope, if the sprawl's up to it.
Mate. Hopefully not, but if I do, I'll work my way back up again. Yeah. And all we do is like defensive positions.
Yep.
So, and mate, Duke knew exactly what he was talking about. I listened to him, my ears were open the whole time when I was in there. He said, in this position you do that, in that position you do this.
Mm-hmm.
And even if that escape from side control didn't work, I had two more that I could have gone to if that one didn't work. But I was just waiting for my moment. And because you got to explode, you got to commit to those hip escapes when you go out. There's been a million times where I've sort of got half out, and then sort of got stuck there and ended up back on my ass again. So I was just taking my time. And when I exploded, I was using all my energy. I was all in for that. So couldn't be happy with how it went, to be honest.
How much more mature are you nowadays, Benny? I mean, there's a great listener question coming up, which I will allow you to completely answer without giving it away either. But how much more mature are you now, you know, going into this, you know, going into a fight like this, learning from your mistakes and everything that's you've been through in your life, which is a storied career. There's no doubt about that. From where you've been, mate, what you've achieved, the different organisations you fought for, from K1 to Glory to, you know, being Australian heavyweight boxing champion, you know, how much more mature are you now going into what will be your second fight, third fight, fourth fight, and hopefully that big UFC contract?
Yeah, well, I think I'm at a really good place right now where, you know, there's the old saying, old too soon, wise too late. I think I'm just at the perfect amount of experience and still got a few years left of physical ability.
Hmm.
So I believe I've got another 5 years in pretty prime condition with all my experience underneath my belt. So I'm looking forward. This is obviously, I've learned so much. And even in this last 6 thing, it was just good for my confidence, you know, just to have, I can train properly for 3 months and not screw up.
Yeah, you could tell yesterday, couldn't you?
Big Papa strolling around.
And, I can do that. I cannot make excuses for myself to eat crap and have painkillers and crap when I'm feeling sore and tired. It was just, the ball has just started rolling again, man. And I'm looking forward to seeing one. And even today, had 2 days doing what I want, but I wasn't blowing out. I wasn't binge eating. I just had a few drinks with my mates, had a pizza.
Good.
Yeah.
And today I'm eating healthy again. I'll be training again as soon as I can.
So you must be a lot more comfortable in yourself then, knowing that you've got all those little things right. Now, you know, as time progresses, well, I'm sure you'll be, you know, more comfortable to talk about all those sort of things. But, you know, I look at the example of Ashkan Mokhtarian. That's a fantastic story, I believe, as well. Went through jail, went through drug addiction, alcohol addiction, went through huge problems in his life. Turned it around, has got a beautiful young family now, has fought in the UFC. We'll learn from that when it comes to his next fight. But it goes to show exactly what you said about that sweet spot with age, with maturity, with timing.
Yeah.
And I think it's a great story. And he's so comfortable to talk about, you know, the level he's at. You know, you watch his UFC interviews where people ask me, why did I get a face tattoo? You know, well, you know, I did that because that's a point of no return. You know, when you're getting a tattoo on your face, you've hit rock bottom.
Yeah.
And I'm going to turn it around from here. And he did. Yeah. So, you know, I mean, you've hit such a great spot at the moment. Keep yourself strong mentally more than anything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The physical side of things will come with it. And with great people like Duke in your corner to help you, the sky's the limit, mate. So it's very important for you to thrive off that and know that you can make it to the very top now.
Yeah, absolutely. That was one thing I had in mind. Even before, whatever happened during the fight, I was always going to keep my shit together after the fight.
Yep.
Because, you know, usually just go off the rails, wouldn't see me for a few weeks. Then I come back to training, I put on 20 kilos.
Yep.
Not anymore, man. That was a big thing. Whatever happened, win, lose or draw,
I was going to
relax for a couple of days, not go too crazy, and then get back on the grind.
Back on the grind. Very nice. Well done, Benny. Congratulations, obviously, from all of us. I'll touch on it quickly in my segment and what's potentially ahead for you. But yeah, again, well done, mate. The future is the sky's the limit. So keep your head down.
Thanks, now.
That was the important time, mate. Keep it down. And for the listeners out there, a great win for Benny. Mm. The start, we all want it.
You're listening to the Ben Edwards Psychology Session 101.
My uncle touched my balls.
You're listening to the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast
with Scotty Masters,
Ben the Governor Edwards,
and Steve Payos.
Well, without the wonderful crew at the Butcher Shop, Dixon and Kayleen, we wouldn't be here talking shit on a weekly basis. And Benny, obviously plenty of your fight prep for your MMA debut was put in at the Butcher Shop with them helping you out with your diet.
Guess how many Butcher Shop eggs I was eating a week, man?
How many?
96.
40.
40 eggs a week, man. 5 a day, but one day I have an omelette where I have an extra 5 eggs at night.
Wow.
How does that add up?
Yeah.
What are 7 fives?
35.
Yeah,
plus extra 5, 40. 40.
Yeah. Oh, I'm good at maths, man.
There you go.
But the meat's good too.
Yeah, nice.
Being a butcher shop.
Well, you would think so, wouldn't you? but the best thing is the butcher shop, of course, everything is made on the premises. It's not like when you go to the supermarket and it's out of a box that came in a truck from somewhere else. This stuff is cut fresh on the premises. They're snitties. They're made fresh every day. Snags are made fresh. It's all done right there. Even their bacon is smoked on the premises, so you know you're getting the best
of it. Smoking hot bacon, man.
Oh, dude, it is the best bacon. It's like it is. We've mentioned it before.
I like
it's
having
like
that
heroin
in and around my mouth.
The bacon? Are you sure you didn't wear any big elbows the other day?
I wore a few, and I had a Viagra 2 minutes after the fight. True story. Sorry.
Really?
Is there a story behind that? Someone just goes, pop, have this. What is it?
Never mind. I was just feeling pumped up, man. I was like, my mate, take this and make you feel good.
I'm going to walk around the stiffy for the next 8 hours.
Yeah. Should have just gone to the butcher shop. Their meat gives me a stiffy. So you imagine if that becomes their new tagline. Come to the butcher shop. We'll give you a stiffy. They'll give you tasty meat, guaranteed. Dixon and Kayleen. Kayleen is open 7 days. Dixon is open 6. Go in there, get it down your neck.
Thanks to the Butcher Shop, Dixon and Kayleen.
You've downloaded the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast
with Scotty Masters, Ben the Governor Edwards, and Steve Payos.
God bless the interwebs.
Scotty, time for your top five again this week, mate. We had an absolute cracker a few weeks ago.
Yeah, I'm not living that one down, am I?
A month ago, it was awesome.
That was awesome. Oh, they've still been good.
Did you listen?
Be less
listened
shit.
I listened to the first episode while I was away. I haven't managed to listen to the second one yet.
All right. Well, listen, State of Origin.
Yeah, whatever you.
State of Origin 2017 is over, and as much as it pains me to say that, last week, that decider, Queensland, they were just too good.
Oh, you full turned it off from what I was reading. You were just
were you drinking?
No, I had 3 VBs. That was it, because I always get a six-pack of it. I hate VB, but I get a six-pack of VB
for
when
Origin.
Origin's on,
yep.
And to drink the beer that sponsors
the boys.
Nothing
says I support New South Wales like a Victorian beer.
Oh, I know. And now, bloody, what is it, Dugan and Ferguson are in trouble for going out and having a beer when their team's sponsored by a beer. Did we see the irony in that?
No. Ridiculous. Yeah.
Anyway, long story short, I thought the refereeing was awful, but it still wouldn't have changed the result. So well done to the K-Tones. Now, I did turn off the telly at the 60-minute mark and go to bed with a screaming case of the shits. I was not happy at all. Woods, Fifita, Mitchell Pearce were just awful. Absolutely awful. Pearce's kicking game was crap. Every single kick straight down Billy Slater's throat.
Yeah.
It was just really, really poor. But what made last week's Origin suck even more, and I've spoken about these guys heaps over the years, is all of my friends that I'm friends with on Facebook that were born in New South Wales and the ACT who support Queensland. Seriously, Malcolm Turnbull should just tear up their citizenship and deport them to Manus Island right now.
How bad is it? Arguments you're getting with these snuffs at work. Oh,
dude,
mate.
It shits me. Anyway, it got me to thinking about this.
And now, it's another Give Yourself an Uppercut.
Top 5.
Yep, it's the top 5 things that suck big time but don't suck as much as people who were born in New South Wales or the ACT.
Can I chime in?
Who support Queensland in Origin.
You've been hanging out with Sasoli too. The top 5.
It's the painkillers, Betty. The back's out. All right, coming in at number 5, the shirt I wore to Ben's fight on Saturday night. Apparently. I have never copped as much shit in my life over a shirt. I walk in and see Ben in the hallway at the Rex. He's going, nice shirt. Do they make them for men?
I look like my granny's wallpaper, man. She's been dead for 20 years.
It wasn't, makeup for humans.
It wasn't Paisley. It was like a black shirt with like some white 70s.
It was a lot to take in, man.
All right. Okay. Number four, when your ankle sock elastic breaks and your shoe keeps eating your sock all day. That sucks.
That's annoying.
But not as much as New South Welders who support Queensland. That's just ordinary. Number three in the top five, when you're cooking soup and you taste a bit to see if there's enough salt and you burn your tongue.
I think it's like you get a Band-Aid in your mouth.
No. I don't know.
That's not my worst fear.
What the hell are you doing?
That's my worst fear.
What the hell? What are you licking?
Like eating Band-Aids, man.
Where
I used to have nightmares about
where are you
shit,
buying
man.
Soup?
What the hell?
No, I think I had a bad experience when I was a kid, man.
Back to Benny's counselling session.
Yeah. Number two, pigeons. Let's be honest, they're pretty much made of cigarette butts and hot molten garbage, and they don't really do much except shit on everything you love.
Rats with wings, man.
That's it. And number one, there's the drum roll. In the top five things that suck big time but don't suck as much as people who were born in New South Wales or the ACT and support Queensland in origin, benign tumours. I mean, really, what's their purpose? They don't make you sick. They just get in the way and they need to be cut off. They're fucking useless.
And they just muck around with your head while you're waiting to find out what they are.
Not a tumour.
You're listening to the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. Thanks to The Butcher Shop, Dixon and Kayleen. And now, with the Macedonian love god, it's time for the vast planet of athletic endeavour.
New world record for Usain Bolt.
Australia won the toss and they're going to bowl.
Scoring brilliant goals.
Nice hole in one.
Take it away, Stevie.
Oh, I've missed this segment the last couple of weeks. Stevie's back. Take it away.
Thanks very much, boys. Massive week in the world of sport. Let's touch on it again.
The vast planet.
Let's start nowhere else other than Canberra Queanbeyan, the great Ben Edwards with his MMA debut. We just went over it in his segment previously about what happened in the fight. But, you know, the biggest things to talk about now is what this means. There was a lot of nerves and a lot of anxiety in the fight community about what this was going to mean for Benny. So this is the sort of stuff that we don't talk with Benny about beforehand because we want him to stay focused. But, you know, being heavily involved in the scene in Canberra, in Sydney, and knowing a lot of people, I was getting, you know, spoken to a lot about this, what I felt. A lot of question marks, what it was going to mean, where does he go from here? And it was fascinating debating it with people. I found the guys who are so into the MMA, like outside of Canberra, the guys involved in it here, just the questions they pose, what's his training been like? And without giving too much away, and also from a perspective of not knowing completely his training's been going, because, you know, a close-knit camp is important and it's very, very vital for the fighter. It was fascinating for me to be able to talk about it and just, you know, give the opinions. But, you know, Benny obviously showed that he's got the ability on the ground against the cage, back to the wall, you know, and that's not proverbially, back to the wall literally, as well as banging on, which he's always had for his whole career. So the questions were answered, which are fantastic. And I think for now, what it means is that it should open a lot of doors. There's no doubt there's going to be a lot of offers coming through, and it's all about, you know, tailoring the plan now perfectly for Benny to get himself to a level where he's, you know, 3, 4, 5, and 0, well and truly on the radar of everybody now. There's no doubt about that.
But
there's still question marks.
I think some big questions have been answered, but no doubt that more preparation, more fights are going to lead to more experience.
I'm notorious for having an awesome performance followed by a dud one. Yeah. So that's I touched on before.
Yeah, but this is the attitude thing. That's the attitude thing that we talked about, which is fantastic to see.
Yeah, so. We've brought it up the last couple of weeks. It's true, Benny. Something switched on in you last year, and I saw it.
My endocrine system due to a lack of painkillers.
But no, we did. There was
CNS refunction.
There was a noted difference in your attitude just to life, to training, and to your focus. You saw it.
Serotonin. So.
Yeah, well, that helps too.
It's good for what else,
It's true.
It's a positive.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's great. It's great news for everybody. I think everyone can stay tuned for some big news. I know Benny's looking at the options that are ahead and involved in some big things.
There has been a few.
There's been some offers already.
Which is fantastic. Cool. So good. All about working that out. And obviously the bromance between you and Duke is fantastic to see
Great.
Bouncing off each other. And obviously, you know, Duke's opportunities now will come through as well for him to be able to progress himself as well. So it's really positive for MMA in Canberra. It's positive for the fight scene. You know, on the back of Dave, I think that couldn't have been timed any better. Benny coming out two weeks later. You know, the three biggest names there are, Duke, Benny and Dave around Canberra.
We all need to get a photo together, man.
Yeah.
Big time.
So, you know, that's...
Duke will want to be in the middle.
Yeah, absolutely.
I've heard that.
With you. Yeah. with you guys at an arm's length. But yeah, so congratulations, Benny. And we'll see what happens with that.
Thanks,
boys. I have to mention this. This made me tear up again on the weekend. Roger Federer, absolutely fantastic, mate. This guy's the epitome of world sport. Anyone who knows me knows that I absolutely adore the man. Everything that he's achieved in his career, whilst doing it so humbly, so respectfully, raising his family, traveling the world, and just being a great ambassador for world sport, just doing the right thing and always performing so well. Everyone thought his career was on the decline. Heading back a few years ago, he'd last won Wimbledon back in 2012. That was the last time he won Wimbledon, you know. He'd lost a couple of finals to Djokovic as well in the last few years, and it just felt like he just wasn't up there anymore with the big-time players. But he took 6 months off last year just to reset, came back for the Australian Open and beat Nadal in an epic, had another little spell before Wimbledon, didn't play in the French Open. I'm not sure if that was a case of I don't...
Well, he's not great on clay, is he?
That's right. No. But he still won there, though, which is unbelievable. Yeah, he still won the French Open.
There's a saying in boxing circles that... usually the real all-time great fighters can usually pull out one last awesome performance even after a few shit ones at the end of their career.
Absolutely.
Yeah, the one I'm like the main one that comes to my mind is Roberto Duran and Iran Barkley.
Yeah.
Duran was right at the end of his career. Iran Barkley was just smashing
raging.
Everyone.
Yep.
And Duran showed up, lit him up, gave him a boxing lesson.
The hands of steel.
Yeah.
It's amazing to see what that sort of rejuvenation can do. And for he went through this tournament seamlessly. Okay, maybe he got the luck of the draw. As they say, he avoided Djokovic, avoided Nadal, avoided Murray. But yeah, they're their own worst enemies, those boys. If they're not going to be good enough to get through, then he took advantage of what was ahead of him and wiped the floor with Cilic in the final, won again, and said he'll play as long as he can. So.
Remember last time you were here, we were talking about the hopes of Mr. Tomic and Mr. Curious.
We were too.
Remember
that was just before we would have started.
Remember what I said?
Farcical.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. You were right. You were spot on, mate.
It turned into an epic shit fight of them just going, I don't care. I got more money than God. Whatever.
I have this debate with a lot of people.
That's all Tomic said. I don't care. I'm never going to work again anyway.
Yeah.
what do you make of that? Can I ask? And the reason is you look at the way Conor McGregor carries on, okay? Mm. But a lot of my mates, and we have great debates. Me and Robbie Duros, for example, have great debates about this, and he's of the exact same opinion of Scotty Masters. They're both absolute flogs.
Yeah,
that's a disgrace. And look, I can certainly see it. Even, you know, Kyrgios, when he started tanking, for me, that was, you know, I always tried to defend him, as you boys would know. But when you start in the tank and not try, I was like, come on, mate. That's what I didn't like. But for Tommy to come out 2 weeks ago and goes, you can keep dreaming about buying your dream car while I just go and do it and
what
not
a
even
wanker.
Give a crap.
What a wanker.
That really pissed me off. The difference, I guess, in fight sports is that it's all about being brash and it's all about bashing the other person. But Conor
it's just about being interesting.
Yeah,
but Conor talks the talk and backs
but
it
that's
up.
The thing.
And money motivates him.
Yeah.
You know, that's his
well,
thing.
Well, he came from nothing too.
Mate, he's worth about $40 million right now.
But is it wrong for someone who's motivated by money to just go and play their 2-3 games? It's the world they live in.
No.
You can play 2-3 rounds in tennis and walk away with $100,000.
Yeah.
For 3 days' work. That's the way that the sport is structured and the way it's designed. Yeah. I don't agree with it, but you know, just because you're fighting, why can you talk a lot more smack than you can than a tennis
with
player?
The lifestyle that Tomic and Kyrgios are presenting as well, $100,000 don't last long.
No, that's 100 right.
$100,000 will last a weekend.
Well, the way they're
like,
going,
seriously.
Buying cars and living in Miami and doing what they do, it's a shame that they don't put their talent to better use. And I think Federer is a perfect example of what you can do. 19
I
grand slams.
Endorsements and everything on top of that.
Well, that's it. Yeah. But think about what would come with that. If
they weren't dickheads, they would have people crawling out of the woodwork. The next
But Connor's on a different level. Connor promotes the fight.
Yeah,
he doesn't belittle other people.
He's
oh, you guys got no money. He had no money 4 years ago either.
Yeah,
you know.
And
he's going to make. He's going to. They reckon it's possible he's going to make the same as his fight purse, the $75 million guarantee, just an endorsement.
Wow.
Yeah.
But that goes to show.
Because
he
knows how to.
If
play.
You get the fine line right and do it right, you look at Federer walking around with his Rolex watch and the sponsorship he gets from them. Yeah. Gillette raises the amount of money he gets from Gillette. You know, and everybody else, Nike. I mean, he's their pin-up athlete, and why wouldn't you want to keep him? In my mind now, he's almost up there, Jack Nicklaus. They've got to be the greatest individuals
Tiger. The amount
ever.
Of money Tiger was making out of endorsements made what he made in tournaments look like chump change.
That's right, because of what they were doing.
Same with a lot of the guys in prior. You know, Big Bob Sapp, the rest. He was on good coin. He made millions outside just because he had a personality. He was big, he was funny.
And congratulations as well. Garbiñ Muguruza won her second Grand Slam.
Who?
Garbiñ Muguruza.
Bloody hell.
Yeah.
We got to get you on Fox Sports, son.
It's coming, boys, I think. I'm ready to go.
You didn't even blink then.
No. Great performance.
Bada bing.
Bada bing, bada boom. No jersey.
Is that what Mayweather named his strip club?
Yeah. What?
Bada bing.
He opened a strip club, didn't he?
No, it was called something else. He was on Instagram yesterday.
Oh, was it?
I think it was called something called else.
There was one in King's Cross years ago called the Butter Beer.
Who are Tony?
So congratulations to her. She beat Venus Williams in the final to win her second Grand Slam. She's won the French Open before. So that was a fantastic performance from her as well. Moving on, you touched on it quickly before, Scotty. I want to make a point of it. Josh Dugan, Blake Ferguson, apparently a week before Origin,
the it's come out today.
It wasn't a week.
It was the Monday night before.
Unbelievable.
But before Origin 2.
Right.
Before Origin 2. What are they doing? On the piss.
Gambling.
Maggoted.
Drinking. Where was it? Lennox Heads Hotel or something like that.
Yeah, and they were kept away from the media the next day. So there's a cover-up. So I did actually hear Ray Hadley on the radio this morning while I was out in the car basically going, that's it, Laurie, you got to give up, because if you swept this under the rug, there's no respect by the players.
That's right.
That they do this, you're gone.
Yep. So what I wanted to ask you boys is how much value is there in having these camps which are away, where the players are away from their daily routine, their daily family, where maybe perhaps those feelings of cabin fever, I need to get out and have a beer and let's just go and play.
But these
up
two dickheads have got a history of it.
They do.
Let's be honest.
They do.
But they lost their job at the Raiders.
Does that play into the narrative that let's go out while we're away on tour? If they just kept them in Sydney doing their normal lives and going about their business where they're in the spotlight.
It sounds like they're missing out on an opportunity just to concentrate. You know, there's no family obligations.
That's right.
All they got to do is play footy. Man.
But see, when you've got notorious play uppers, is that going to be a problem for them?
It shouldn't be, because at that level, when I first heard about this last night, they were saying it was the Friday before Origin and it was their day off. And I went, well, that's all right. Like, if you're out 5 days before a game, you're going to be fine. Yep. And if it's a day off, whatever. But as it turns out, it was before game two on the Monday night, less than 48 hours before the game. They should be rubbed out.
Apparently they were very, very loose. Very, very loose.
Yeah.
So look, that's a real shame, that one.
It's ridiculous, it's
another series gone.
Well, look at Queensland 2 years ago. Dylan Napper, they had an emerging Origin camp up in Queensland, like at the start of the year, and a few of the young guys, Milford, Dylan Napper, and there was someone else, played up. Mm-hmm. They got rubbed out of Origin that year.
Mel Meninga
went, you're not playing Origin this year, screw you. Yeah. Gone. You're not part of the culture. And I get sick of hearing about, when you play for Queensland, it's do or die, it's the culture. Maybe they're right.
Yeah.
Maybe they're right. Maybe they're buying into it.
There's a lack of respect there for
with the Blues hierarchy. Yeah, yeah. And it's horseshit.
I can't imagine some of the guys doing that to Ricky, because Ricky, the guys respect Ricky.
Yeah.
I couldn't see him doing that to him. Because everyone that did was playing up, he booted him.
Well, I just get the feeling, Laurie Daly, you know, by all reports, is a legend bloke. A mate of mine works with his daughter, and she says, you know, he works really hard on it and takes it.
It's not a bad gig though, Scotty. But 3 games a year for $850,000. That's not bad.
Yeah, but you do a fair bit of work leading into it. But just after the loss too, Laurie doesn't ever want to say a bad word about anyone. Yeah. And I think that's to his detriment.
Detrimental,
it's like,
absolutely.
You can't be friends with everyone. When you're the coach, you have to make hard decisions and you need to put people in their place. Phil Gould told Andrew Johns in 2005 to go piss off.
Yeah.
If he didn't, because he wasn't taking it seriously. And Joey had the best Origin series of his life.
Yeah,
because Phil Gould.
That was our best win.
Put it on him.
Yeah.
Put it on him. Laurie Daly wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
Laurie's all about the kumbaya. Let's all have a hug. Come on. Let's get into it. Don't be upset. You lost.
Yeah. I defend him if you heard me at work.
Yeah.
I'd be offended.
Yeah, I don't know.
Can we turn the light on?
Well, you can now. It's got quite dark, hasn't
it? What, you don't like this? I like this.
I want to see you, man.
All right. Well, there we go. Ready? Yes. There we go.
Nice. Bang. Bright now.
Very bright.
LEDs, Benny.
I like
it. Yeah. Couple of last things before we finish off, boys. Formula One again on the weekend. It's turning into a cracking season.
It is.
We talked about this 3-4 weeks ago, but Hamilton winning on the weekend. The biggest and funniest thing was the two Ferraris having their tyre problems on the weekend. They both cooked their tyres. You had Raikkonen basically had blisters in his tyre. He only managed to just get to the pits after being in second or third,
I think it was.
Scotty. And then Vettel was in second, and his tyre blew up, and he struggled to get around to the pits.
You know what that is? That's called karma.
Karma, yeah. That's it, coming right back at you. It's just fantastic. That immediate press conference a few weeks ago where Hamilton wasn't talking. You know, they weren't shaking hands. He wasn't shaking hands with Rosberg, I think, was there as a guest. You know, Daniel Ricciardo was told, whatever you do in the streets of London, don't do a burnout. What does he do? Gets onto the old VA Red Bulls. Wow! Just wrap it. And then you had, the best thing I've seen was you had Felipe Massa. You had a few of the other drivers there with their phones, like the little boys, like, just all recording it. So we copped the reprimand afterwards.
There hasn't been this much going on since the Senate days.
Yeah, that's it. But it's just so exciting. It's good to see some good racing, some competitive racing as well. And I think they're going back to allowing the cars to be loud and having that real...
Needed it. They sounded terrible a couple of years ago.
That's it.
I've got faith that the NRL is going to come back around. I'm sure the charges the next 20 years, me.
Yeah. No, they won't.
Well, Papa copped one, didn't he? For that hit on Dugan last weekend, he copped his 2 weeks. Band, so, yeah. I mean... It all looks so soft, doesn't it? I mean, back in the days when you boys used to play, it was all going, everyone was fine, and that was it. Last thing.
Scotty broke his neck.
That was a shoulder charge. That's just because I got tackled by a juice-headed maggot.
Yeah.
Hashtag Rodney.
Juicehead Ford, shut the fuck up. Juicehead Ford, shut the fuck up.
Juicehead Voltron, Turkey.
Is that what it was? Was it Juicehead? Oh, sorry. Juicehead Turkey. How good was that? All the best to the Australian women's cricket team. They play in the semi-final midweek of the Women's World Cup. On the other side, you've got England against South Africa, so that'll be fantastic. They've always been a fantastic team, the women's cricket team.
Yeah.
And look, on the men's side of things, it's very disappointing that they still haven't come to an agreement yet about the player contract situation with CA. You've got a whole bunch of unemployed top-level cricketers now. The Australia A Tour to South Africa was cancelled. I don't think Bangladesh will go ahead. No. I don't think the one-day tour to India will go ahead.
And England said if it's not sorted out, they won't come and play the Ashes.
Correct, which is just unbelievable. If that happens, that'll be a turning point in the history of Australian cricket. The fact that they
couldn't... World cricket.
World cricket, everything. Yeah. The fact that they couldn't come to an agreement to avoid this impasse over an Ashes series, I think that'll burn so many bridges. Yeah. And like you said, the Poms came out and said, if this ain't sorted, we ain't going to bother.
Yeah.
And that'll be huge for the world game. So they need to sort it out ASAP. I honestly thought they'd get it fixed up before I left when we talked about it last.
I thought they would too,
and we were talking about it, Scotty Gunn. They should sort this out, but
I heard Simon Kadich on the Friday on the radio, and he's just like, this ain't going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, and Kadich is in the one in there in the bat for the players. Well, so,
yeah, him and Watto as well. Right, Watto's involved as well. So it's a pure stalemate. Shocking if you're a cricket fan. I mean, I love my cricket.
Well, you know Watto's going to review every decision that comes from the board.
Send everything to the lawyers.
Benny's going, what are you two talking about?
What the hell?
Cricket?
The podcast you are listening to is all true.
Proving once again that the truth is not pretty. Just like its hosts.
The Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast with Scotty, Ben and Steve.
Need advice?
You've come to the wrong place. But Scotty and Ben will have a crack at your conundrum anyway. It's listener question time.
Love this segment. And 9 times out of 10, they all turn out to be questions from Ben. But I guess that's what happens when you do a podcast with a famous boxer / fighter, Stevie.
That's correct. Yeah. Another great listener question.
You want to read it out, mate? Good one from Luke.
Absolutely. So listener question this week comes from Luke Thompson on Facebook. Thanks very much for the question, Luke. Benny, for you, congratulations. Oh, jeez.
Congratulations,
mate.
Spit it out, Sasoli.
Yeah, let's I'm just going to start that one again. Congratulations on the debut win, Benny. My question is, over the years becoming a kickboxer to boxing and now MMA, what has been your favorite to do in terms of the differences in preparation? So what of the three disciplines, what has been your favorite to do?
Well, first of all, I think if this is the Luke Thompson, I think it is. It's my striking coach, Josh Tonner's cousin. So g'day, Luke. How are you, mate? MMA, for sure.
Well, thanks, Benny.
MMA,
for sure. You're not just saying that? The lack of variety. Obviously, I'm pumped up on MMA at the moment, but just the variety, man. There's so many different things you have to learn, and it's just you're learning new stuff every day. Whereas boxing, I won the Aussie title, and then every training session, I'm just looking at the clock, and it's just the same thing, the same thing, the same thing. MMA, it's endless, you know what I mean? Especially with jiu-jitsu, that just goes on forever. Yeah. You can go deep down that jiu-jitsu wormhole and never come out, and you're just learning new stuff all the time. There's so many...
So it keeps it interesting for you as an athlete.
Absolutely. And it's much better to train. You're not just getting punched in the head all the time. You're not just getting kicked all the time and just getting bruised and banged up. Like, don't get me wrong, it's not easy, as you can tell by my face. But it's just MMA for sure. Just sheer variety. Variety is the spice of life, man.
Yep.
Especially when you're training. You can't go in half-assed. you know, you got to be all in.
Yeah.
And it's every day is just something new, man. It's awesome.
So, yeah. is it harder, sure, Benny, in terms of discipline then, noting that
you've got... itchy, man.
He slept with a woman who wasn't clean.
No, she smelled good, apparently.
Jesus,
yeah, karma, baby. Yeah. No, but what I wanted to ask Benny was, in terms of discipline, you say, I mean, boxing being the same thing most of the time means that the discipline is solely focused on a lot of the same thing. Noting that you've got jiu-jitsu, you've got stand-up, you've got, you know, all the different components that come with it, you know, how much is it harder or easier to focus on these disciplines and get better at them? Noting that boxing is a little bit more singular in what you do.
It is. It's definitely harder in terms of organization and probably concentration, but it's also a bit easier with concentration as well because it's new every day. You're not just running through the motions. So, but it's definitely organizing because I got to train at a few different gyms because of all the different disciplines. But definitely, I'm pumped up for MMA, man.
Is it a positive that you don't need a striking coach? Noting that
I still do.
I was going to say,
yeah,
like,
I keep my shit sharp, man.
Obviously, you focused heavily on grappling and jiu-jitsu leading up to this fight. Did you feel? I know you do stuff with Josh still for your striking.
What I'm going to do. One thing I did take out of my last preparation. I did because I broke my foot.
Yeah.
My last training session for striking was just boxing. And I realized I wasn't as sharp as I thought I was.
Yeah.
So I have been doing one Muay Thai session a week,
mm-hmm,
and just boxing training with at training, like sparring and stuff, but no actual pure boxing training with boxers. That's one thing I am going to do. I'm going to do one Muay Thai session a week, one boxing session a week, just to keep everything sharp.
And 75 jiu-jitsu sessions a week.
Yeah, well, mostly wrestling.
Yeah.
Mostly wrestling to stay on my feet. And so that's definitely got to keep my thing sharp because the distance and the timing is also different, especially when you're – it's because all the guys I'm striking with at the moment are all MMA background, so their hands aren't super sharp.
Yeah.
But on the ground, I'm in a bit of strife, but definitely would love to get back in with Dave Desain again and just other guns that make me pay for my little mistakes again. So definitely you can't forget who you are and you got to keep your tools sharp.
Well, from staying sharp to a little bit of rock and roll, shall we? Let's get stuck into that. Song 2 on the podcast this week. Love this band, Queens of the Stone Age. Of course, Josh Holm, Dave Grohl played drums for him just because he could for a couple of years.
I remember they played naked a Big Day Out once.
Yeah, that sounds like a thing Josh Holm would do.
Was he the bald guy with the beard and the little dick?
No, that's Nick Olivieri. Oh. So Josh is a big, big, tall ranger, lead singer dude. You're like 6'6" or something. He's enormous. Yeah. Anyway, they got a new album coming out called Villains. It's released later this year. The Way You Used to Do by Queens of the Stone Age. It's their new single. It's just come out. Check this one out. It's awesome.
My beating heart. To do.
You used to do by Queens of the Stone Age with what's his name?
Josh Holm out front.
Shit, Holmes. We're the big Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. You're Scotty, I'm Ben, you're Steve. And 50% is a pass, so I'm
what
taking
what the hell was that?
That was a back announce, mate.
Nice. Quality. Uppercut or high five? I think we've decided we've got a bit of an uppercut. We're all struggling.
DJ Khaled.
Year two star.
We the best music.
I just about,
here we are promoting him though. I mean, fair dinkum.
I just about blew my ears off with these headphones I'm wearing before, which are Beats by Dre, which were given to me once when I was doing a gig on the radio. And I'm not a fan. They're too overprocessed. They're too loud. They're
no Sennheiser.
No, they're not. Sennies, mate. Sennies are fantastic. So these things, and then you were talking about DJ Khaled, basically in his film clips now, promoting his headphones and everything
fair
else.
Fair dinkum.
What's going on? Are you telling me there's a rapper talking about hoes and
about
product
placement? Self-promotion.
I don't believe in nothing no more.
This is ridiculous. Like, this is, okay, they all talk about it. They'll, you know, never mind you're in the middle of a verse and you're like, yeah, I bowl like Jordan or I rap like blah, 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 blah. And they're talking that up. This guy's in his film clip for one of his most recent songs, stops the whole clip to sit there and talk about these headphones are the best. The video clip stops with him sitting there. Then he's got a female there and, you know, they all rap about, yeah, I won't
boy,
say it. Yeah, all that sort of stuff. Yeah. Whatever, they all do it, and it's all out there. But this one was just, he's sitting there with this woman, pulls out these stacks of cash, and he's like, say my name. And she's like, DJ Khaled, say my name, DJ Khaled.
Hey, you paid me enough, I'd be saying that.
Well, okay, maybe money talks, man. But I watched it and just went, this is ridiculous. And then he's like, here, have some money. It was like a stack of, you know, what? If it
ones.
Was,
they're
was real
ones.
Money, we'll be like, they're fucking ones.
That's all you're worth.
Yeah. Whatever it was. And he's like, go buy yourself a house. Go buy your mama a house. Go buy your whole family a house. Go spend some money just to spend some money. Oh, I was just, I was like, what is
you're
this?
You're offended.
No, I wasn't offended. I was just like, this is crap. Like, what are
just,
you
it's
doing?
Just worse it's just worse, gratuitous, say. The whole scene.
The rumors, there was some rumor mill that came out the other day as well that he was riding a horse in the Bahamas for one of his film clips and broke its back and the horse was had to get put down afterwards. I think it's fake. But, I mean, if you're someone that they're making that sort of stuff up about, you must be a knob. It's ridiculous. So
the part is, it does make you question, is that possible?
I don't know.
I tell you what, it'd want to be a tiny horse. I know he's a big dude, but geez.
In the words of Snatch, he's a big man, that's for sure, but fair dinkum.
Maybe it was one of a Barbie pony or something.
Shetland.
Yeah, who
perhaps.
Knows?
Oh, it was just anything. I just thought it was ridiculous. I mean, they all rap about it all the time. Like, yeah, my beats and this.
Let's punch you.
Yeah. Ready?
The Let's Wrong show there, Stevie.
That's right.
Nice work,
if that
I thought I hit him.
No, that was Steve.
Good shot, man.
Well, come on, that's me, man.
No, good shot.
You've been hitting last weekend, relax. Yeah. Well, you're only poking at the moment.
I got 47 stitches, man.
Yeah.
When I went out
you
Saturday
got
night.
Four.
Well, the hotter the chicks were, the more stitches I had in my I thought one chick I had 47. She was a 47 out of 10, man.
Yeah, it's how many 10s in your
Didn't get nothing.
Surely the scars on your face would have scored, you know, with the ladies. Chicks dig scars, they tell us.
I had a heap of chicks coming out saying, oh, you play footy or what do you do? I'm like, because I see these chicks all the time at work.
Yeah.
Never talk to me. I come in, everyone's, you know, they're talking about me. I've got shit on my face. I'm looking tough as. And now you want to talk to me? Fuck off, man.
This is a good story from Queensland. We're after Dave's fight, we went out that night and he's a bit banged up in the head and a few stereo strips on. The screws at the casino would let him in. Like, nah, mate, you're not coming in. He's like, he's just fought today on the undercard. I'm like, nah, mate, you can't. Yeah. whoa. We had to pull up the phone, show footage and
Did they let him in?
They let him in eventually.
Yeah, wow.
I mean, because he looked so banged up, but he wasn't that bad. He's the same as you, Benny. Just, you know, cuts on the face and stuff like that. And they're like, nah, you can't come in, mate. Like, oh.
I had a problem with that with Warwick Harrington, who's now a statistician over in France for one of the rugby teams. He used to fight with us and he had the worst cut I've ever seen. Just like this big X in his eyes. His eye was hanging out. It was awful. Got all stitched up at the venue and went out. It was just, his eye was hanging out. It was awesome. But he couldn't get in to a whole bunch of different places. And Warwick's the most sweetheart, nicest guy ever. And we had to, we had to keep digging around to a few clubs before they let us in.
Before you find the shooters of wherever you were to let him in.
Yeah, nice. Exactly.
Oh, there you go. All right, well, DJ Khaled.
So what did I do Saturday night after my fight, you ask?
Oh, really?
Went back to a friend's house and ate all the grain waves and fell asleep.
Excellent. That was it. Smart man.
You're listening to the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast.
Thanks to The Butcher Shop, Dixon and Kayleen.
Well, it is time to get out of here. Season 2, Episode 6 of the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast / Ben Edwards therapy session comes to a close. We've got to thank Ian and the crew at The Butcher Shop. And without those guys, we wouldn't be able to do this. It's been a tough week for them. Thanks for being on board again, folks. And don't forget, Dixon and Kayleen, Canberra's best meat. Go in there and get some of it down your neck. What's on the cards this week, Benny? Back into the, well, not into the training because of your broken foot and your cut finger. So how does it work for you from here? What's the story?
Just get some good food into me. Yep. Just try and stay as mobile as I can be. Get the blood flowing. I've made the mistake of being plastered on the couch for 3 weeks before.
Swimming pool, mate.
Yeah. Well, when I get the stitches out, for sure.
Yeah.
If it was not freezing.
There's indoor pools, mate.
I thought you were inviting me over.
Oh, you can swim in my pool. I'll even turn the heater on for you.
Oh, do you have a heater?
Yeah.
Oh, it's on.
We'll get it up to 30 degrees and away you go. On.
If you can get it up for me, I'd really appreciate that.
I'm not the one that had Viagra on Saturday night.
8 minutes after a fight.
Oh, dear Stevie, anything this week you'll be keeping your eyes on in the way of sport?
Yeah, plenty going on. Back to the NRL now that it's in full swing now. No more buys.
Final six or seven rounds.
So looking forward to seeing how the regular season ends with all of that.
Raiders
sort of
have
stuff.
No chance.
Well, they've got two games against Melbourne, including this weekend in the final seven rounds.
Yeah, I think they're a big chance. I think they can steam home. Like, they did that last year and managed to get
they
second.
They do it every year.
They did some, yeah, exactly right. Big wins against Melbourne last year and Cronulla leading up, who were leading the comp. I think they're every chance of making the finals. How much of an impact they can make, I'm not sure. Mm. So, just want to see how the regular season for all that ends going to be interesting. The transfer market in the Premier League really hotting up now that all the internationals are over. The pre-season tours are starting to begin, so this is when all the player movements happen, which is great to watch.
Bless you, Benny. Bless you.
Whoa! Sorry. So, plenty going on, which is always great, and I'm around now for the next couple of weeks, which is good. So,
before he's off again.
Settled for a bit, so it's all fantastic. So, plenty to look forward to.
All right, I'm cool.
Crying for that sneeze, man.
Whoa.
You're right, mate.
I'm getting emotional, man. Too much estrogen.
Therapy's over.
Until next week, get a big black dog up you.
See you next Thursday.
Hard work! See you later.
Well, that's a wrap. Not sure if we solved the problems of the world, but if we didn't, Ben can put those problems to sleep with a well-timed ride.
Scotty can write a scathing diatribe and give them another tongue-lashing.
And Steve can get all Barry White and seduce the world into thinking everything is going to be just fine. That will happen in the next episode of the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast.
Thanks to The Butcher Shop, Dixon and Kayleen. Till next time.
So long.